This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Many years ago, I got my first scuba diving experience in the vast Elkhorn coral reefs of the Caribbean. Today, those corals are all but gone, dead. Coral reefs are dying at an alarming rate, except for one place, Cuba. Coral reefs in the Caribbean seem to be hit particularly hard. Since 1970, about half of the coral cover in the region has disappeared. And while rising ocean temperatures and pollution runoffs are bleaching and killing corals all over the world, corals in some parts of Cuba are not only surviving, but they are thriving. Why is that? My next guest is here to give us a little insight on why this might be. David Guggenheim is a marine scientist and president of Ocean Doctor, a conservation organization based in Washington. And he's been working on conservation efforts in Cuba for the past 15 years. He joins us in our CUNY studio here in New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks so much, Ira.
Why Florida, where the reefs are dying, and Cuba, they're 90 miles apart. Why such a big difference?
Well, if you think about how Cuba has developed, it's just developed so differently than the rest of the Caribbean and certainly from Florida over those last 50 years where we've seen so much of the destruction of the oceans taking place. And we know that Cuba has developed in a way that has resulted in fewer nutrient pollution episodes going on in their waters. Nutrients in the water do the same thing that they do on land. They fuel the growth of plants and algae, and those algae overgrow the coral reefs. After the Soviets pulled out, Cuba couldn't afford fertilizers or pesticides, so they were kind of forced into organic farming, and that's had a beneficial effect on corals.
Is there one part of Cuba where the corals are in better shape than other parts?
I think the crown jewel is Gardens of the Queen. That's on the south coast around the center of the country, about 50 miles offshore. And I first started scuba diving when I was a teenager in the Florida Keys, loved it, saw that Elkhorn coral that you mentioned. It was just enthralling. And over the years have had to endure, like many of us, the disappearance of those corals. So when I went back to this place, it looked better than I remembered as a teenager in the early 70s. It looked incredibly pristine. And not only was there that Elkhorn coral that is 95% extinct from the Caribbean now, where we were diving, but I was told it was part of a barrier reef system that I later found out extended for 30 miles.
Wow. And it's still in it's probably the most pristine place in this hemisphere?
It's certainly the most pristine that I've ever seen and in the Caribbean. And for the first time in recent years, gave me hope about the future of coral reefs. That if we can learn from this living laboratory how a healthy coral reef is supposed to look and function, then those are very valuable insights we can use for restoration efforts around the Caribbean.
This freezing of relations with Cuba, is that going to help the science there, or scientists there, and you in particular do research on the corals?
We've had quite a challenge over the last 15 years working in Cuba. The Cuban scientists are fantastic. They're very well educated and dedicated, but they've got very few resources. The University of Havana's Center for Marine Research, our primary partner, they have two vessels. One has been at the bottom of a river for more than 15 years. The other one is literally made out of rock. It's a ferro-cement hull, and it's not a great vessel, really. So a lot of what we've done is bring in equipment, try to charter boats and other things to let the Cubans do what they do so well, which is great science, and get these students out on the water to do science. But under the restrictions, that's been enormously difficult. Yeah. Bringing in equipment, Cuba still is on the list of the State Department's list of terrorist nations, which restricts all sorts of equipment like electronics.
Mm-hmm. Do you fear that maybe tourists now who may be flocking to Cuba, and there go the reefs are the Cubans aware of that, going to keep the tourists away?
Well, you know, the other reason that Cuba's coral reefs are so healthy is that they have fantastic environmental laws in place. They have protected 25% of their waters in marine protected areas. That's compared to the worldwide average of about 1%. So they are very good stewards of their environment, and I have faith in them to continue that. But we've all seen the track record of the United States. We tend to mess things up that we love. And I think there are a lot of people with their eyes on Cuba. So one of our projects is actually working with the Cubans on developing good decision tools for the future. And that includes environmental economics, helping the Cubans put a price on their natural ecosystems. What is the value that these ecosystems provide? And look at alternatives like sustainable ecotourism. And so far, that's been going very well.
Now, we've heard about all these lionfish in Florida and all around this, you know, the coast of the southern coast of the U.S. Are they invading Cuba also?
They have invaded
They're
Cuba.
There. They are
there.
They have landed.
They
so
are,
to speak.
Yes. Sadly, they are everywhere. And they are now moving down the South American coast. It's a pretty frightening time series if you look at the time series of how fast this population is exploding. The problem is these guys are incredibly voracious predators. They don't belong there. They're from the Indo-Pacific. And these little reef fish that grow up to be big, important reef fish are the primary target of these lionfish.
Are the Cubans, do they have any ideas about how to combat this?
Well, what we've been doing with Cuban scientists at Gardens of the Queen, which is a healthy ecosystem, meaning it has lots of sharks and groupers and other predators, is they are experimenting with enticing these sharks and groupers with lionfish. So they'll go out and spear them and offer them up to the sharks. And
hopefully they develop a taste
exactly
for the lionfish.
Exactly. And it looks like it's a little bit spicy because they do have those venomous spines, but they seem to get them down okay. There don't seem to be long-term effects. The fishermen are finding them in the guts of grouper, and the dive masters down there are seeing sharks take them even without diver intervention now, which is exciting. And it you know, really makes you think about a basic principle of ecology, that a healthy ecosystem is difficult to invade. All of the niches are filled. The question is, who's going to be the first one to eat the new thing that appears? And that's an interesting question of evolution and animal behavior.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest challenge to the reefs now? When you go down to study them, what are you studying?
Well, we're studying, I think the biggest challenge is keeping the reefs healthy as we move forward.
Does that mean keeping overfishing down to a minimum?
That's a big part of it is making sure that these protected areas can remain protected. And that means, in some cases, helping the local communities, these Cuban communities that depend on fishing, find alternatives. And in the case of Gardens of the Queen, most of the former fishermen are now employees of the park, working out there guiding catch-and-release fishing or scuba diving trips and making maybe 10 times what they used to make.
Well,
it's helping.
Good luck to you, Vaughn.
Thank you very much.
And hope to get down there and see it sometime myself.
Anytime. You're invited.
Yeah, David Guggenheim is a marine scientist and president of Ocean Doctor, a conservation organization based out of Washington, D.C.